Coming up on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas and Cougar hoops. And after back-to-back wins over Mountain West foes, BYU is home for two in a row, including a Big 12 opener. It's all ahead with the Cougs head coach and point guard Dallin Hall. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
Yes, indeed. Hello, hello. Once again, good evening, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside our weekly home at Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building on the Brigham Young University campus here in Provo, Utah. It's our final pre-Christmas edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, your weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball program. Great to have you with us, either here in our studio audience, and thank you, folks, or watching live or on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps, along with ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's show, here's what you can look forward to. We will look back at a weekend win over Wyoming at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City, the Cougs' home away from home. Deep Blue will profile bench booster Dawson Baker. Dallin Hall is our live studio guest tonight. We'll have a Christmas-themed mini game show segment with Dallin. Yes, it's the much-anticipated, somewhat feared return of Nerd Quest. We'll have an audience Q&A segment with the coach and Dallin and BYU Hoops trivia later in the program, and a special surprise at the end of the show as well. All right, it had been 35 years since a BYU head hoops coach won at least eight of his first 10 games of his BYU tenure. But Kevin Young is now the latest to turn that trick. He improved to 8-2 with his latest win on the weekend. And please help me welcome in now the head coach of your BYU Cougar Hoopsters, Kevin Young. Good to see you.
How are you? Doing all right?
Good.
Good to see you. All right. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, the holiday schedule. Let's compare it to what you were dealing with in the NBA for a few years. The college holiday schedule this year at BYU is different.
Yeah, no, it's wildly different. I couldn't remember the last time I had even a couple days consecutively off during Christmas. So definitely will be nice. It also gives our chance to reset, I think, as a group, as a team, get everyone a chance to kind of get away. And, you know, come back, you know, laser focused on, you know, kind of the conference slate.
One game between December 14th and December 31st. That's coming up tomorrow night, of course. So when there's just one game to play, how are you guys as a team accomplishing the goals you want to see met right now?
I mean, I think we've mapped out certain things we want to get better at. You know, definitely is a, you know, I comment a lot about how different, you know, how much more practice time we have here than what I'm used to. So it's really given us a chance to, you know, make specific days kind of a theme of the day. And so we've had different things we want to get better at. And I think we've used the time wisely. I thought leading into Fresno, you know, we had a lot of good practice time. And even Wyoming as well. So this next game will hopefully be the same.
And with a couple of bumps and bruises, too, it's actually a nice recuperation time, too, for some guys.
Yeah, I mean, you never want anyone to get hurt, obviously. But, you know, the schedule is such that there's a little buffer for guys to, you know, have a little extra time to heal. And hopefully, like I said, by the time we get to the conference slate, we're at 100%.
So after tomorrow, when will you see the players again? How much time will they have to actually go be with family? And then I also want to ask about some of your foreign players. Are there plans for them to be taken care of at the holidays?
Yeah, no, I mean, we got, you know, great support here, built in kind of adopted family, so to speak, for some of the international guys. You know, we'll have a lot of coaches in town, you know, if guys want to get work in. But, you know, I'm encouraging everyone to kind of get away. You know, we'll be back day after Christmas and have a practice that evening, and then which will give us a nice runway leading up to the ASU game.
Which is the Big 12 opener. All right, so you're 10 games in. Not that it's a report card per se, but at a 10-game mark, it's a nice little mini milestone. How do you feel about your guys through 10?
Yeah, one thing we did when I was in the NBA, we kind of did a 10-game report analytically, which I know you could respect with your analytical prowess. But so Akash Sebastian, our director of analytics, kind of gave us you know, strengths, weaknesses, different areas that we need to improve upon. I try to use that as a way to not have anything sneak up on us, try to, you know where we're weak mainly so we can fix things and then double down on things that are working well. So we just kind of had those meetings a few days ago and you know, chewing on that data in that film and just trying to, you know, make things right. So there's things we're doing well for sure. A lot of stuff we can get better at too, and that's kind of where we've devoted a lot of our time.
As for you and the staff, analytics and otherwise, generally speaking, what do you like most about where you're at?
You know, there's some metrics that stand out. You know, our rebounding's been really good, you know.
Number one defensive rebounding team in the country and your top 20 in offensive rebounding.
Yeah, so that's been a huge strength of ours. You know, the Big 12 last year was the third best offensive rebounding league in the country. This year, second. So we know that's going to be a huge part of the game plan every night, is trying to keep guys off the glass. So that was a point of emphasis from day one. You know, we're not at the five spot. We're not the biggest team. But, you know, I think Cabe was the fourth best defensive rebounder percentage-wise in the country. You know, Foose is in the 97th percentile. But it's a team effort. You know, we got a great length at the wing. You know, Richie and Yegor have really good defensive rebounding percentage as well. So feel good there. I think we're taken for the most part. We're taking the right shots. We still haven't shot it at the clip that I think we're capable of. Some of it is, you know, our catch and shoot three-point numbers are really good. Off the dribble threes aren't great, not even something we really try to promote. You know, we want to get more catch and shoot threes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, spending time with guys like Cannon to really be ready to shoot on the perimeter. And hopefully those shooting percentages go up because of it.
Back to your O-rebound numbers for a second. You're plus 10 points per game right now in second chance as well, which is big.
Yeah, I mean, getting offensive rebounds is great, but capitalizing on it is even better. So, you know, we have some scheme stuff that we want to do after we get an offensive rebound, and our guys have been pretty good there. So, yeah, happy with the rebounding, but it's something that we got to, you know, stay on our guys about and just keep making sure it's part of our identity.
Back to the bumps and bruises for a sec. You've had your top 10 rotation guys available for the same game just three times in 10 games, meaning somebody's generally been out or working their way back. That said, to get done what you've got done with those moving parts, I think you have to really applaud the depth of this team right now.
Yeah, I think depth is a strength of our team. You know, you saw it the other night. Richie goes down basically first play of the game. You know, Mo steps in and was incredible, you know, on both ends of the floor. You know, I think Elijah's played well while Yegor's been out. You know, Dawson's gotten more minutes. So there's a bit of a trickle-down effect kind of all over the place. But, yeah, guys have stepped up, and I've said it all along, but our practices have been, I mean, you've been by practice a lot. I mean, our practices are spirited, they're competitive, and, you know, when guys get a chance to play, they're ready to go.
Coach says Moe means, it's Mowat Mag. You guys call him Mo, right?
Yep.
Update then on Ikenyu, on Richie and Yegor, how are they coming along? Richie got hurt in the Wyoming game. We wouldn't expect to see him tomorrow night, would we, Richie?
It just got a note prior to the show. He's doing well. He's doing well. But, you know, like with all of our guys, we're really cautious. He's unlikely to go tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, Yegor is doing, he's doing really well. Yeah, he's doing really well. Had a lot of meetings, you know, with our medical group and our doctors to make sure he's trending in the right way, which he is. So that's a real disaster avoided, honestly. I mean, that clip's hard to watch with his injury. So I think we dodged a bullet there.
If you could have your guys, all of them ready to go for ASU on New Year's Eve, you'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, we would. And I think, you know, one, you know, it's great that we've had this depth to step up, but I think, you know, something that makes it a bit tricky is just not having a ton of real game time with, you know, our healthy group, right? Yeah. How do guys play off of each other? How does that impact the subbing and so forth? So I still think we'll be, you know, in learn mode a little bit as the conference starts, and, you know, so be it.
Yeah, trial by fire. You'll be in Big 12 play. Good news today. You added a player to your roster. And whether his time is now or a little bit down the line, perhaps you could tell us a bit about Hadim Umbop.
Yeah. Glad he's here. You know, that's something that we've been working on, you know, since this summer, honestly. Super bright future for him. Great pictures, by the way. Those are awesome. Yeah. Got a great smile. Great family.
From Senegal.
Yeah, from Senegal. He's been with NBA Academy over in Africa. Coach Voigt actually coached him like 3 or 4 years ago, which is a whole another long story. But, yeah, man, super dynamic athlete, you know, 6'9", super long arms. Defensively, I think, can guard quite a few different positions. You know, offensively, really attacks the rim. You know, his shot mechanics are nice. And super bright future for him. He'll help us quite a bit in practice here early, and we'll see how things shake out, you know, as it relates to game time and stuff like that.
Speaking of attacking the rim, literally. Coach Voigt, I think, put out a clip of Hadeem doing some damage. I think we have that thing queued up. Not every guy goes up and throws down the way Hadeem did, but there was a backboard that bore the brunt here. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, clean up on aisle three. So that's Hadeem Mbop. Now, he is part of your roster. So he's part of your team now, but what's the plan for him?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we'll bring along slowly. Obviously, he's coming in mid-year, and so he's playing catch-up. You know, he's coming to a lot of the games, and he's been at practice a couple different times. But, you know, we'll bring him along slowly. He's young. You know, he's
– like literally 18?
Yeah. He's a young guy. He's 18. He's, you know, but got a lot of experience over with the NBA Academy in Africa. You know, so we feel good about getting him in right now and just being able to, you know, kind of get our hands on him, help develop him, kind of get things jump started, and, you know, we'll see where things go with him.
That's awesome. Last week, by the way, was a two-game week for BYU. Both games against Mountain West Conference opponents. After a home win over Fresno State, it was up I-15 for the Cougs' annual Delta Center appearance. BYU clashing with the Cowboys of Wyoming. BYU came in on a 14-game win streak over Wyoming and had won 18 of the last 19 games on the Jazz home floor. Let's take a look back at some of the win over at Wyoming. Highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics. We're going to showcase some individual performances like we like to do. We'll start with Trevin Nell, coach. Follows up the 22-point game against Fresno State with 15 against Wyoming. He was 6-for-7 field, 3-for-4 from three, three or more threes in three straight games. And we all know he can knock down the three, but he's added a lot more to his game this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's just an efficient player. You know, he takes and makes good shots. I think our guys do a great job of screening to get him open. You know, he's obviously a guy who can move without the ball. You know, our bigs do a good job of carving out space in the interior. You know, they guys run him off the three-point line. He's able to get, you know, into the teeth of the defense. And with the way that Foos and Kaba can move bodies around there, it kind of opens up driving lanes there at the hoop. So, you know, he's doing a lot for us. You know, he's a vocal leader for us. He's a competitive guy. I think he's super underrated defensively. I mean, he's very physical. He's one of our most physical guys. So, you know, he's been good all around.
And, of course, that Fresno State game, I mentioned the 22 points, but I can't leave out his 10 rebounds, which was his first career double-double.
Yeah, you know, everyone was busting his chops on that, you know, getting in there and rebounding. But, you know, again, going back to the offensive rebounding thing, that's not just limited to our bigs. We really encourage our guys in those corners to get in there and crash, and he's spacing in the corner quite a bit. So when he doesn't shoot, we like having those guys get in there and see if we can get extra possessions.
All right, back to more from Wyoming. Well, let's go to Mighty Mo, Mawut Mag. Best game as a Cougar, I think we could say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he came in and played extremely well. You know, they dared him to shoot. He knocked down, you know, shots with good, you know, that rhythm. You know, he didn't force it. I think that's something that we've been on him about, is just taking good shots. But I think the star of the show was his defense. You know, he was incredible. And, you know, he came in, you know, highly touted as a defender. And, you know, I hadn't given him a ton of game reps. I thought he's been solid defensively in practice, but, you know, what he showed in that game, you know, we hadn't quite seen that side of him yet where it was just that, you know, impressive. And so he definitely, you know, caught the eye of all the staff and his teammates as well. And, you know, we look forward to him having, you know, building upon that.
Yeah, played more than 23 minutes Saturday at versus Wyoming. Dawson Baker now. Third consecutive game for Dawson in double figures. He had 11 points in almost 30 minutes. Multiple threes for him now in three consecutive games. And the most rebounds he's had as a BYU player, too. He had 5 boards on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Dawson's just a really good basketball player. He knows how to, you know, he plays at his own pace. He never gets sped up. You know, he's got tremendous footwork. Really, really just fundamentally sound. And, you know, you combine that with his shot making and some of the chemistry he's developing with Foos. You know, they've turned into a pretty good, you know, 1-2 punch coming in off the bench together. And, you know, he's a guy that we can really rely on in the half court to make plays off the dribble.
He's a really nifty creator that way, isn't he?
He is. I mean, he just knows how to play. You know, it's, again, his balance, you know, his footwork, his handle, everything is played off the shot. So he's just been really fun to coach because of those reasons.
Another player we're going to look at is Foos. Just so solid always. He plays 16 minutes, but he ends up with 8-3 in those 16. On the season now, coach, he's shooting 66%. And his free throw number for a big guy is outstanding. He's made 15 free throws in a row now at this point. He's 23 for 25 on the year. And not every big is as good at the stripe as he is, but he's good everywhere.
Yeah, no, he is. I mean, I think teams have a choice, you know, every night when they play us with as it relates to Foose. You're going to play him one-on-one or you're going to double him. We got shooting kind of all over the court. So I think that presents a challenge to a lot of teams. You know, he's been able to punish guys doing both. You know, obviously his efficiency gets talked about a lot, but, you know, he's very skilled as a passer. You know, we use him as kind of a pressure release guy up top where he can kind of make passes back door and just be kind of an offensive hub there too. So, you know, he can kind of hurt you all over the place.
In terms of how they track possessions used, if you look at the guys who are at 24% or more, he's number one in the country in offensive efficiency. Cannon Catchings, let's take a look at him for a second. If Richie doesn't go tomorrow, Cannon will be the only guy who will have started all 11 games for you. He answers the bell every night, and he ended up with 8 points, a couple of rebounds, and a block shot against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, that last clip there where he attacks the rim, something, you know, we love to see. We've been on him about, you know, that. But I think the number one thing with him, going back to the catch and shoot threes, is, you know, just on him every day to shoot the ball in terms of catching and shooting spacing. You know, at 6'9", he's got a high release. I think he passes up too many kick out threes. And just trying to wind him up as a catch and shoot guy. He can really, really shoot the ball. You know, I think that'll really help his efficiency by catching and shooting more as opposed to, you know, catching, kind of wasting a dribble, then getting to a shot. So he's, you know, he's a work in progress. You know, he knows that he works hard every day. And, you know, we coach him as hard or harder than anyone because we know how much potential he has. And I think him reaching that potential can really be an X factor for us.
Something you're not coaching him on is what's so natural to him is that high, smooth release. That's a special shot, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's you can't guard it. You can't block it. I mean, you know, learn this in the NBA. Like, guys with his size, they either make or miss the shot. The defense a lot of times has nothing to do with it. You know, he either makes it or misses it. And that's kind of what I've encouraged him, you know, to do, to have that kind of mindset.
All right, the final stat look at BYU and Wyoming. And by the way, it is now 15 consecutive wins for BYU over the Pokes in this all-time series, which used to be, of course, a conference series. It's been 20 years since Wyoming last defeated BYU on the hardwoods. Good numbers all around as BYU wins it by 19. A lower scoring game for BYU, perhaps, but you're going to win on 49 points.
Yeah, no, our defense was tremendous. You know, that they only shot 8 free throws. It was a big number for us. You know, we missed 4 or 5 layups in that game. You know, that would have pushed our offensive numbers a little higher. But more than anything, I thought our defense was outstanding in that game.
Yeah, and Wyoming came in, as you noted, one of the better free throw rate teams in the country, and they were way below what they normally do at the stripe. All right, that's a 15th consecutive win over the Pokes, and BYU now 8-2 on the season. Next up, it is tomorrow night, the Cougs non-conference finale. It is home to Florida A&M. Here's how BYU's gotten to 8-2. 10 games down, we'll take a look at the upcoming schedule as well. And here we go. Tomorrow night, Florida A&M, the Rattlers, taking on BYU for the first time ever. And then right after that, Coach, you're into conference play on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you know, we're, you know, Florida A&M, look, they were, you know, basically tied at Clemson on the road, so we know they're not going to be a pushover, but, you know, need to take care of business and then, again, let everyone kind of reset, as we mentioned, and then, you know, get ready for Big 12 play, which we've been gearing up for quite a bit. I mean, we pretty much started to kind of focus on what we feel like we need to get ready for the Big 12 kind of after that Ole Miss, NC State, Providence run. When we came back from that, we sort of shifted gears to, okay, this is, those last three games were Big 12 like, here's what we learned, here's what we need to kind of get better at and really emphasize. And so it'll be an exciting time when we get to conference play for sure.
I say New Year's Eve, it's the afternoon of New Year's Eve. It'll be a 2 p.m. game on the 31st. And the Big 12 is a great basketball league, but I think it's the best home league as well right now in terms of home win percentage. I think Big 12 teams are winning a higher rate of their home games than any other league. So winning your home games, as in any league, is imperative.
Yeah, it is. You know, and especially in a league as competitive as the Big 12, you know, you got to take care of business. You know, at home, lucky for us, we have an incredible, you know, home court venue. Fans, you know, show up every night, and I'm sure it'll be even louder and crazier during Big 12 season.
BYU's 8th nationally right now in per-game attendance. That number's only going to go up once league play gets underway.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been, you know, even one of the refs came up to me last game and was like, can they even do that with the rock back there going crazy there in the free throws and stuff? So it's certainly a major factor.
Yeah, it is. Okay, break time. As we break and we do that, this is your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Dawson Baker will be profiled in his weekly Deep Blue feature we have on the program. Then BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues right after this. Stay with us.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Well, growing up in Orange County, California, is kind of figuratively and literally a world away from Guam, where Dawson Baker served a full-time mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But his hard work, faith, and determination saw him through not only his time as a missionary in Micronesia, but also through his challenges on the pathway to BYU. This is Deep Blue with Dawson Baker.
As a kid growing up, Coda Casa was a very nice place, but don't let that distract you from how we were raised as kids.
Driving into Coda, you could assume that people who live there might be a little entitled or spoiled because there's these giant mansions everywhere, but the Bakers are nothing like that.
A lot of Saturdays when we had a lot of neighbors who were out playing with their friends or sleeping in, we were waking up to the sound of a lawnmower, and we were working in the yard for several hours.
When we moved into this house, we put the yard in, and then we took care of the yard. So they learned that they either wanted to earn enough money to pay for a gardener or or do it themselves.
You are hereby called to serve as a missionary of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You are assigned labor in the Micronesia Guam mission.
When he got his call and was called to Micronesia Guam, we were very surprised.
Coda and Micronesia couldn't be further away on the sides of the spectrum.
I don't remember specific words from my setting apart. I just remember feeling so much confidence after the fact that no matter what was going to happen, that I was going to thrive.
He was thrilled, but when he got out to Guam, they assigned him a language and an island. And I think that's when he learned he would be learning a language for the first time. And I'm sure he felt overwhelmed.
The first 3 weeks I get there, it's already a struggle to try to pick up this language. I'm trying my best. My companion, who knows the language perfectly, he gets sick. And so they give me a new companion who's just a member, a local member of the church, a Chukis person. And the miracles that I saw on that part of my mission was just amazing.
It was more of a third world type country where he was eating foods he's never eaten before, sleeping on the floor rather than a cushion or a mattress.
Literally no running water, no electricity, no communication.
There was times where I probably should have been a little bit more scared than I was in the moment. I think in the moment you feel the armor of God as a missionary.
The mission was important to him, and it was just part of his life experience. But I don't think he had any idea the difference it was going to make in his life.
He came back such a different person.
Growing up, he was a great kid, and not that he wasn't humble to begin with, but it was just a unique experience that few people have that really changed the way that he looked at life, the way he looked at basketball, the way he looked at himself and his future.
I'm not surprised I made it through my mission despite the circumstances. I think going back to how my family raised me, I was very determined, very competitive, and very driven. And so those things taught me well going into a circumstance like my mission where you had to be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
We felt that his mission would be something that would be really beneficial to him and for us. I mean, being able to go and serve his mission for a couple years, grow up in terms of his experiences, but also physically and just become more of a man. We knew that there'd be a huge advantage to that. And knowing Dawson's competitive nature, we knew he was gonna come back that much more hungry.
I think he surprised his coaches. He surprised me a little bit how quickly he came back and ended up starting after that first game. You know, he just did well. He did well. He ended up being the freshman conference player of the year, coming back from a mission, which was pretty unique, I think.
I chose the number one on my jersey at UCI because it's just a reminder that it was my only offer. And it kind of kept that chip on my shoulder that these other schools that I'm playing didn't care about me and they didn't think I was good enough to play there. Soon after that first year, the attention kind of came back to me that these other schools wanted, but I felt loyal to UCI, knowing that they kind of stuck with me. And so I spent the next 2 years there, having great years, being all conference. By the time my third year ended, I kind of knew that I just needed something different socially and as a basketball challenge. I knew that I wanted to kind of enter the transfer portal.
I was surprised after the first day he got contacted by 20 schools.
BYU's visit was just like next level, like just the coolest thing ever, seeing all the facilities and being able to meet the guys on the team and stuff, and I wanted to make the decision to come to BYU. So when I first got to BYU, I was noticing a pain in my foot. The trainer at the BYU said, you know, let's go get a scan, let's see what it is, if it's anything. It turns out that I had a crack in my left foot that I need to get resolved. We thought it would be just enough time to have a surgery, put a rod in there and fix it.
The broken bone in his foot never healed, and it was always broken.
We had to get another surgery that kind of ended that season for me.
That was hard because of how competitive he is. He obviously wanted to, you know, come to BYU, do what he was planning on doing, and make a difference and contribute to the team.
It was the season starting, so it was going to be a redshirt year for me, which was a total bummer because I knew the team that we had was great. Everyone was excited for the Big 12, and to not be as involved as I wanted was really hard for me.
So when I first got back over to BYU, one of the first things I was able to do was kind of his on-ramp back to the court program. So I was doing some one-on-one workouts with him, and he was frustrated in a sense where his conditioning wasn't the same, his shot wasn't the same. My conversations with him was like, this is a marathon, right? This isn't a race, right?
I don't think Dawson sat too much on a bench before. And so that's probably a very humbling experience. I think it also made him watch the team and think, where can I help? Where can I be, you know, useful? What can I add to this team? And it gave him a lot of time to find that player he wants to be for BYU.
Coming off an injury and not playing for a long time and then getting a coaching change, it's just a different challenge that I kind of wasn't expecting in my life or in my basketball career. But change has not been something new to me. My mission always felt like I was changing every single day. And this is just a different circumstance that I know I'm going to thrive in.
Been really happy with, you know, his progress on the court, kind of persevering through a lot of that. I think he's, you know, adapted to, you know, the things I'm asking him to do that might have been a little bit different than, you know, what he's done.
He's super hungry to get out there and play, to prove that he's healthy, to prove that he belongs at the Big 12 level. Just a beautiful overall kid that wants to please and wants to do what you ask.
I think he has a little bit of the competitive fire in him that he wants to show everybody what they missed last year.
He has things to prove and things he wants to do, and he will tell you when he's done. And he's not going to let the body dictate that or the mind. I think he's going to do it himself.
Because of all the things in my past, it's kind of made me who I am today.
Great feature on Dawson Baker, shot maker. You hear that a lot in practice?
Oh, yeah. That ball goes in when he shoots it, man. That was a great piece. You know, I think for me, just seeing that, hearing his story, you know, like just the experience that a lot of these young men have on their missions, I think prepares them for just life in general. But, you know, you get thrown a curveball with the foot injury, you know, get curveball thrown, like as you mentioned, with the coaching change, you know, just kind of get a sense of just how to deal with, you know, adversity. And so he's obviously, you know, handled it extremely well. Even when I got here, he just, you know, like Burgess was saying, he wasn't ready. You know, and we weren't sure. We were in our own, like, transfer portal trying to add guys to the roster. We weren't sure what we were going to be able to count on him for. And, you know, so he was kind of playing catch-up even this year, honestly. And, like, the way he's handled it and the way he's been able to go out there and produce, you know, he's been a stud.
Turned himself into a really important piece of your puzzle, hasn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a guy, like I said, we can put the ball in his hands in a half court and he can go out and make a play. He can score the ball. He's a good decision maker. He's going to be a big part of, you know, what we're doing this year and years to come as well.
All right. There are only 19 players who have recorded 300 or more assists at BYU, and there are only 8 who have averaged 4 or more assists per game in their BYU careers. Furthermore, there are only 2 with a career assist-to-turnover ratio of 2.4 to 1 or better. And you can find our next guest's name in all 3 of those superlative career lists. Please help welcome back into Studio C, BYU junior point guard, Dallin Hall. I was told this might be a situation tonight.
Christmas time, baby.
I like it. I didn't get the memo.
No, I brought you something.
Oh, Dale, let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
Right here.
Oh, that's
your dog.
I love that. I'm gonna. Can I throw that on?
Yeah.
I'm throwing that on right over the hoodie.
Not out here alone.
You know? Yeah. I was told this might be something you bring to the table tonight. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
That
Merry
is big
Christmas,
time.
Everyone.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here in standard royal blue, and these guys are really doing it upright. That's well done.
That's great.
Good job. All right. So, whether or not you heard it as you walked in, I was given some point guard, historical point guard numbers, and you're right up there in all these lists. The point guard history at BYU and your place in it, although you're in it right now, you're trying to win games, how do you look at the position you play and what it means to excel at that spot here at BYU?
I feel like BYU has a great history of some incredible point guards. When I was getting recruited, it was TJ Hawes. And so it's obviously a position that's super important. BYU's had a lot of great point guards. And so I feel just honored for the opportunity. And I just am grateful for the guys that I'm surrounded with, because that's what makes being a point guard so fun, is like, leading guys that you love playing with, getting guys that you really care about shots. And so just super grateful for it all, honestly.
Last week on the show, you saw the deep blue feature on Dawson just now. Last week was your deep blue. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so what did you think when you got to watch that?
It was good. I mean, the team that created it is incredible. You see that in every deep blue. So shout out to them. They pour their hearts into it. They make me look a lot better than I deserve, which is a hard job to do. But
is it fun watching the old clips of yourself?
Yeah. No, Mama Hall had to dig in the files for some of those. So it's cool to see how far I've come. And I'm excited to see, obviously, where the journey takes me.
Why jersey number 30, by the way?
That's for Steph Curry, yeah. That's made the swap in middle school, so.
Not a bad guy to have to go after on that one.
It's a pretty good one. Yeah. No. I love the deep blue for him. I really enjoyed seeing the old clips. In fact, I texted him and his dad after that aired. It was cool to see just that fire, you know, even back then as a young guy, just that competitive edge. And I think that's kind of what drives Dallin.
Not an identical situation, but we saw in Dawson talking about working his way back from a lower body injury. Not as severe for you, but you spent the start of this season trying to work your way back as well. Can you take us back in that process and how you made through it? How made it through?
Yeah, well, I owe a lot to my teammate brother, Trey Stewart. He went down the same time as me, and so we were rehabbing together. He pushed me every day, and so that's my brother for real. I owe a lot to our training staff, Rob Ramos, Wiz, Coach Brady, and so that was kind of the squad for a little bit, who we leaned on, and the boys took care of business while we were away. So our main goal was just focusing on getting healthy, and it's hard to do it while games are being played, but I think just trying to stay present, control what you can control, and when that time comes for you to step back on the floor, just be as ready as you can was kind of the mindset.
When you got him back, what did he bring immediately, Coach?
You know, we missed his leadership, you know, for sure. Just a kind of steadying, you know, force out there. You know, he's one of our most vocal guys, just keeping guys sort of, you know, in line with our identity is, and making sure we don't stray from that. So that was certainly something that we welcomed back.
When you were back in the coaching change limbo of the spring, do you recall your first conversation with Coach Young and what that was like?
Yeah, I think we had a phone call really early on when he got the job. He reached out to me, made it known that, you know, keeping the guys that were already here was a huge priority for him. That meant a lot, because I know, like, this dude had, like, unlimited things on his plate at the time. So for him to take the time to reach out to me, to my family, That was super important. And so already I could tell that coach was prioritizing, you know, what we brought to the table. And then as we had more conversations, our visions were aligned, and I was just anxious to learn from him.
He knew, and we all know how important you were to BYU success in year one of the Big 12. What did you as a player and you guys as a team learn about the league that you're excited to put into play here in year two?
Yeah, we learned it's a dogfight every night, and there's no off nights, and that's kind of the case for college basketball, honestly. I think we made a big leap from our first year of just trusting each other when things get tough, coming together, and that's what wins basketball games. So the Big 12 taught us that through some highs, through some lows, and I think we have a great core who remembers that. We have some great new talent that we've added to that, and so we're excited for the challenge again.
I know, Coach, you hope that pays off in the Big 12 or having guys like Dallin who have been through the war before.
Absolutely, you know, and I've said that kind of from day one with the guys who were here, you know, last year, kind of understanding, you know, what's to come and the things that we need to, you know, be able to play through, as he mentioned. I think it's hard for, you know, even for me, having not gone through the league yet, you know, to have a great understanding of, you know, just how competitive it is and just how, you know, kind of, you know, intense the environments can be. But, you know, having guys like Dallin and Richie and Foose, you know, Trev, that have kind of gone through it, I think definitely something that we're relying on heavily.
It is great to have Dallin and his holiday attire on the show. We're taking a break. Coming up next, it is the return of Nerd Quest, holiday style, when BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Time for the mini game show segment of our show now. And after making its debut a couple of seasons ago, we somehow knew that it would become an annual staple, regardless of anyone else's opinion. We like it, so we always bring it back. Yes, tonight it is the holiday-themed version of Roll It. Yes, it is once again Nerd Quest. Yes.
Good one, buddy.
It's holiday-themed, festive music. We do it right. All right, so here's the deal. We are going to give Dallin three questions in three categories of fantasy sci-fi related material. And we're gonna give you multiple choice question and answer options, and your job is to simply pick the right response. Simple. And it's somewhat holiday themed. We're using that liberally tonight. So yeah. Here we go. We're gonna start with some Star Wars. You like the Star Wars, right?
Love me some Star Wars.
All right, here we go. Question number one, out of the Star Wars vernacular, the fifth episode of Star Wars takes place on what remote icy planet? Is it Mothma? Is it Kamino? Is it Hoth? Or is it Yavin?
Hoth.
It's got to be Hoth. Even I, non-nerd, know that it's Hoth. Yes, we're good. Good job.
I'm glad they're asking you these.
Okay, that one I would have gotten. This one, I blew this one on rehearsal. I got the wrong one on this one, but you'll get it right. What creature attacks Luke Skywalker in the opening of The Empire Strikes Back? Is it a Wampa, a Tauntaun, a Chumbawamba, or a Bantha?
It's a Wampa.
He says it's a Wampa. And it is a Wampa
in this case. See?
And I made the mistake that I'm sure Coach Young would have made as well. I said Tauntaun, but he's riding the Tauntaun.
That's right.
They do
Coach was thinking that.
Yeah. And they do slice open the Tauntaun for warmth later.
Yes,
that's a part of the story. Okay, number three from Star Wars, and Dallin is killing this. In 1978, well before your time, an ill-received Star Wars holiday special was broadcast on CBS that featured, among many characters, Chewbacca's son. Yep. Yes, he had a son. What is the name of the son on the show? Was it Stumpy, Bumpy, Lumpy, or Grumpy?
This is some deep lore right here.
It is.
I was not alive at this time.
Very true.
I'm gonna go with Stumpy.
It was C. Lumpy, short
for Lumpawaroo
was his name, which, of course, who doesn't know that?
Yeah.
All right, we go from Star Wars to Harry Potter. Okay. Like Harry Potter?
Yeah, are we tag teaming this, or is this me?
Is this still him?
It's still him for sure. Because otherwise, I'm going to have to ask my wife, who's here with us.
Harry Potter, question one. What did the note say that Harry received alongside the invisibility cloak? Did it say, use it well, keep it close, mischief managed, or take good care? What was said? Do we know?
Who? I'm hearing some A's. Are you hearing some
A's? I'm hearing some A's. Yeah.
We're going to go A.
A.
And the answer here is A. Use it well.
There you go. There you
use
go.
It well.
Phone a friend.
That's good. I like it. Question two out of the Harry Potter universe. In the Sorcerer's Stone, what color jumper did Harry receive from the Weasleys? Was it black? Was it emerald? Was it scarlet or purple? This is less in your wheelhouse, it feels like. It feels like you're having to give this some serious
thought.
I read
these book series once. I'm going to go with B.
B is the way to go. It's emerald.
Oh,
well done, Dallin.
Nice.
Well done. Nice. All right, and our last question on Harry Potter. Where did Harry spend his first Christmas? Was it the Burrow, Privet Drive, Diagon Alley, or Hogwarts?
Hogwarts, right?
I feel like Hogwarts is safe.
You'd think that would be the right answer, right? You would think that.
Yes.
And it's correct. It is Hogwarts. Well done.
What a place to spend Christmas.
Our last three questions are from the Lord of the Rings world. You okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Number one, if you are looking for a tree for Christmas, don't be hasty and stay away from Fangorn Forest, lest you run into one of these creatures. Are they ants? Are they Huorns, Beorns, or Shelobs?
A.
A, beware the Ents.
Let's go, baby.
Ents is correct.
Go,
well done.
Impressive.
You felt very good about that one, didn't you?
Yeah. Shout out Treebeard. That's what I said.
The 12 Days of Christmas sings about five golden rings. But how many rings of power were created, including the one ring forged in Mount Doom? So how many rings of power are we looking for? 12, 15, 20, or 25 rings of power?
I think C, 20.
C, 20 is once again correct.
That's my math skills.
Even when you're not quite sure, you're sure.
Yeah.
And lastly, what is the name of the Elven region where Frodo bids farewell to Middle-earth to sail to the Undying Lands in Return of the King?
You got this one, coach.
Was it North Pole, Provo, Orem, or Lindon?
You gotta go North Pole, right?
I'm feeling D. Okay.
He says Lindon, of all places, and it is Lindon!
Okay. We were going Christmas, you know.
They should have.
I thought it was Vineyard, and I was wrong about that. So, all right. Well done, Dal. I think you got, 8 out of 9 on that one, I think?
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yes. He aces NerdQuest once again. This is. When we come back, we'll have questions from the studio audience for Coach Young and Dallin Hall. When BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues, don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide, decode your DNA, design your destiny. And Ken Garth, we hear you.
To BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A with the coach and Dallin Hall, presented as always by Ken Garf. We hear you. We've got the mic. We have at least three questions queued up. And, sir, kind sir, your name and your question for Dallin or the coach.
Paul Miller. Question for Dallin with backup from the coach. Verify. Verify backup. So there was a play in the football season where Jake Farron received
Will Farron.
Will Farron.
Yep.
Jake is his brother. Sorry, I know his brother. Will Farron received the hike from Sam Vanderhaar and ran it for 15 yards, a fake field goal. And it was an amazing thing. There was a play this past week or so where you faked your drive to the basket and over the shoulder assist to, who was that?
Caba.
Caba. Yeah. And it was amazing. It was more amazing than that other play. Those guys said that they practiced that play for the whole week. and still weren't comfortable with it. Did you practice that with Kata before the game, and were you planning to do it, or does that just happen spontaneously?
Yeah, I never practiced that one with Kata, but he's played with me and Yegor for about, I don't know, 5 months now, so he kind of knows, like, if he's anywhere by the hoop and he's open, just kind of expect it, because he's so good at finishing, we're just trying to get it to him close to the basket, so he's really good at that, just kind of happens spontaneous, but Coach didn't draw that one up.
Yeah, I can't take zero credit for that one. These guys are super creative.
It was pretty cool to see that one happen, right?
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah. And, our group's unselfish, and, like, they're pretty smart. You know, give it to Cave around the basket. Something good's probably going to happen.
Yeah, all right, question two. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm Tasha.
Yes, you are.
What do you want for Christmas that isn't related to basketball?
Mm.
For both of you.
Want to start this one?
I want my kids to get along every day. How's that one?
That's great. And they're like stone-faced up there. Like. I love it. Okay, Dallin.
I'll say there's a new book from the Stormlight Archive that I'm trying to read. So that's what I'm hoping to get.
Mom, are you taking
your mom's
notes
up there?
Up there?
So yeah. All right, last.
I'm Matthew, and this is a pretty deep question, so get ready. Okay. If you had any color lightsaber, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go with purple. I think it's unmatched. You know, there's just one of them. Mace Windu. It's pretty epic.
Purple. Easy answer.
I'm a royal blue guy, for what it's worth. All right, time for trivia. We have trivia time before the break. Let's go. It's this week's And One trivia question. It comes right about now. Here we go. Six BYU players have scored 2,000-plus career points. Who got to 2,000 in the fewest games of those six guys? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Here's our trivia question. Now, during the break, we were talking about the six players who did it. So before we give the answer, let's first of all tell everyone who the six players were. We'll go with most recent. It was Yoeli Childs. And then you also have Jimmer Fredette. You got Tyler Haas. You got Devin Durant. You got Michael Smith. You got Danny Ainge. Of those six guys who all got to 2,000, who got there the fastest, do you think? Dallin, you want to take a run at this?
I'm going to go with Danny Ainge.
Goes Danny?
Jimmer.
And the answer here? It's Dallin's night. Danny Ainge, 99 games to 2,000.
That's impressive.
Yes, indeed. All right, next up for BYU. Tomorrow night, we got BYU basketball. The Rattlers of Florida A&M. First ever meeting between these two programs. Florida A&M coming in at the 3-6 on the year. They're out of the SWAC, as was Mississippi Valley State, who BYU faced earlier. They're having tough luck in true away games, but Coach, they've all been against power conference teams, all these road games.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're certainly battle-tested. You know, they've played a crazy schedule, so... you know, they'll shoot a lot of threes. They also like get to the free throw line, so we'll have to be, you know, disciplined defensively to slow them down.
And they have a Shaquille O'Neal on their team. He is, as not surprisingly, the son of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. That's great research by you.
Yeah, I know. It's a real deep dive on that one.
Yeah. we said earlier, I mean, look, this is a team that was, you know, had Clemson kind of on the ropes earlier at Clemson, so somebody will have to, you know, be locked in on.
Okay, here's your broadcast schedule for tomorrow night as BYU hosts Florida A&M at the Marriott Center. Cougs playing for a 13th straight home win, by the way, and a 20th consecutive non-conference home win. So BYU TV and BYU Radio at 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain, then 1 hour later, the tip. And then stay with us on both BYU TV and BYU Radio for post-game coverage. As we wrap the show tonight, we have one bonus segment. We're calling it Who Wore It Best? All right. First, we're going to show, very simply, Dallin Hall in an all-white uniform playing against an opponent in an all-black uniform. A simple contrast here. Mm. So there's Dallin in all-white. That's Dallin looking sharp in the white uniform. Who else can we compare him to as to who wore it best? We have a point guard from Clayton State.
Wow.
This is the 2002 to 2004 era. And that's Kevin Young, rocking the baggy shorts. And
that was in style back then.
It was. Believe me, they're going to get baggier as we continue here. Who wore it best? Dal, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Coach Young. I just saw his trading card last night. So I've seen the stats. Okay. He's rocking that.
All right. So Coach says those were baggy. No, we're going to show you baggy. But first we'll give you Dallin looking sharp again. Another quick contrast look here. Dallin's next look, roll it. Okay, clean, crisp, navy blue. Very good. High inseam there. Oh, my gosh. What is Coach?
That's not a good look. That's not a good look. Yeah, that's, again, was not, I was just on the team. I wasn't picking out the jerseys, so.
We're wrapping with that. Merry Christmas to you both. And to all of you, thanks. Have a great night.